A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 14 and then 22 to 32. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, "I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead or let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. Praise and glory to God. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ, the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, all of you who've experienced it, I think, know that there's something about the birth of your first child. Yes, I know all children are precious, and I certainly remember the birth of each one of them. But in the case of my first child, I also very distinctly remember the morning after the birth. She was born just after midnight, and I drove home in the early hours of that morning. The drive was something of a blur, but I decided not to go to work that day. And so after I had slept and had breakfast, I returned to the hospital. It was strange thinking that I am now a father, that I would have to care for this little human being. My whole world had changed. But as I drove, I noticed that the people in the streets were doing exactly the same thing they were doing any morning. There was someone taking out rubbish, someone else hurrying to work, a tradie taking tools out of the van. And I still remember I had to wait for a few trucks to pass on the way before I could cross the main road to the hospital. For me, this day was different, but to other people, there was nothing special about that day. They continued as before. So I wonder whether for the disciples, and especially for Thomas, there was a similar sensation. After all, some of them had seen the empty tomb, and they had heard that the women had seen Jesus, but the world around them continued as before. The Jewish leadership still wanted to suppress this Messiah. The Roman occupiers still ruled the province with an iron fist, suppressing all threats to their superiority. It was little wonder that they were fearful, that the news of the resurrection had not really changed their world. And then Jesus stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. The disciples were overjoyed. It was once they saw the risen Christ that they believed that the world really changed for them, even though the Jewish leaders still were against Jesus' message, and even though the Romans still occupied Judea, and even though city life in Jerusalem continued as before. Thomas exemplified that even more promptly. On the one hand, his doubt was reasonable. After all, who had ever heard of someone being raised from the dead? It just doesn't happen. So skepticism would only be appropriate. And yes, if the whole world had seen Jesus in glory, if even the Jewish leaders and Roman occupiers had acknowledged that the unthinkable had happened, then Thomas might have had less trouble believing that Jesus was raised from the dead. But at that point, it was just the other disciples telling him. Was that enough to make him believe? Thomas wanted further proof. It, of course, was different when Thomas saw Jesus himself. Then everything changed. Then it didn't matter what the world continued, that the world continued as if nothing had happened, because Thomas could see that what he had not dared to believe had really happened. Jesus was alive. That's why he could believe. That's why for Thomas the world changed that day. Ever since that day of the resurrection, the world seems to have gone on as if Jesus had not been raised from the dead. Ever since that day, the world is trying to subdue the hope, sometimes actively, sometimes just by being busy and distracted. But those who have believed have realized that the world has changed, that it has not remained the same, that even amidst the continuing influence of sin and death, there is a different reality. Jesus has already been raised from the dead, sin and death have been conquered, and that gives us hope that they will be fully defeated. Not only that, through God's power in Jesus, God is already at work here and now. We can experience God's power of forgiveness and renewal breaking through again and again, both in our own lives and in the world around us. By living in that hope, we do not withdraw from the world, but rather have the strength to live in a corrupted world. We can see the world realistically for the evil that's rampant in it, but also the way in which God's goodness breaks through again and again. All that strengthens our hope that God's goodness will triumph in the end. The world is a different place because of Jesus' resurrection, and all the foolishness, greed, violence, and sin of the world cannot change that. The resurrection of Jesus allows us to live differently already here and now, and it also gives us hope for life beyond death and sin, and for the renewal of all things when the kingdom of God will be fully revealed. And all that allows us to live in joy. So Peter picked up that up in his speech on Pentecost. He said, because death could not hold Jesus, it indicates that God is with us, that God loves us. Therefore, my heart is glad and my heart rejoices, he quoted from the psalm. So God's presence in this world allows us to live in joy. Even in a troubled world, Jesus' victory over sin and death can bring us joy. It brings us life, and that is reason to celebrate. Amen.